Welcome to Physique Star Radio, brought to you by Myotropics and Dr. Scott Connolly. Here are your hosts, Ian Lauer and Vince Andrich.
Welcome to Physique Star Radio. You're here with your host, Vince Andrich, and myself, Ian Lauer. We are here to help you build your best physique and make it work for you. Vince, what is new?
Oh, I'm just recovering from a long weekend.
Oh, too many beast lights?
Yeah, too many.
No, it was a busy weekend. I know Myotropics had an appearance at John Lindsay's Grand Prix.
Yeah.
It quite was, a turnout there. Quite a turnout with, of course, the amateur physique as well as a pro physique show.
Yeah, 375 competitors, I think, John said.
Yeah, no, well over 300 and right at 400. Yeah, right near. So, yeah, really good turnout. And, of course, we had 10 pros in the men's physique competition as well as oodles of amateurs. So what were your thoughts on the pro competition?
Well, my thoughts are a little mixed. And on the one hand, I understand there was quite a controversy over what they were looking for vis-a-vis the judging criteria, what's the standard.
You've been waiting to say vis-a-vis all day. I'm glad you got that in. But please, don't
what does it mean?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter, I guess. It's just one of those phrases that people like to throw out there. But I'm sorry to interrupt your vis-a-vis extravaganza. So if you could go back to your judging vis-a-vis your conversation you were having.
Well, yeah, the judging, and we're talking, this is brand new, really, physique. It's relatively new. Obviously, guys that went from the amateur level to the pro level, there seemed to have been a leap in what they were looking for as far as some muscularity and muscle maturity. And so the first pro show, the Governor's Cup, Matt Christianer brought a real nice package. And seemed to be the same package he brought this time to the Grand Prix, but he didn't even get called out in the first call out. So it's basically that was like the beginning of the scratch your head. What are they looking for? And so
yeah, it was really interesting. You know that you hear in the judging, you know, not too muscular. And I know from what I understand when I chatted with Matt, he actually lost a few more pounds before coming in. And I think some of that was most likely water weight. So he's a bit more cut than the show before. And it looked as if perhaps they were going for a little softer look in this show versus the first show. I mean, all 10 competitors came in probably the best shape that I've seen them in. But it seemed like that was the direction they were taking this show.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that, you know, the head judge, or we don't even have to get into specifics, but, you know, the judges at the first pro show had a kind of an archetype in their mind, and it was not the same as this, actually quite different. And so I think a lot of competitors, not only the pros, but the amateurs, the buzz around the auditorium was, what are they looking for? You know, we had a couple of guys that, you know, Danny Hester has a couple of guys in the show, a guy named Josh Cohen, and he was like wondering, you know, now what are they looking for? I did what they said last time, and it's, you know, didn't do me any good. So,
well, you know, at different shows, you're going to have different judges, and if you're trying to hit the mark that you're given by the last set of judges, there's a chance you're not going to be in front of that same judge and that target will have moved. So, I mean, again, it still comes back to bringing in what you really feel should be representative of the best physique. And I'm not saying you don't take advice and direction from the judges because, yes, you want to ask, you want to follow that advice, but you have to make sure that it fits within the good body that you want to build and that you really feel should be representative of the sport.
That's true. I mean, I told some of the Myotropics guys, I'm like, look, if you're waiting for the judges to tell you what you should look like, it's the dead end to me. I mean, it'd be like saying I'm a bodybuilder. I'm going to just go by exactly what they're judging on. And you wind up being really, really, really big. And if that's what you want to do, fine. But let's look at what happened with bodybuilding. If you look at the guys that win the trophies on the high level, you got to be big. I mean, we're talking really big. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you want to do, fine. That's, I think, why the men's physique became popular is because guys said, this is kind of what I want to look like.
Right. Well, and also it's something that can help you get work. And though Matt Krishner did not place well on this show, I know for a fact he has multiple photo shoots or had multiple photo shoots pre and post competition. I mean, I'm seeing things posted for Iron Man as well as other magazines. So whether his physique that he brought was the best for that show, it has served him well for the remainder of his trip here in LA, which, you know, making it in this business, that's an important thing to be able to do.
That's right.
But speaking of guys that are making it in this business, just so our guests or our listeners know, we have a few of the pros on the line on this show from this past show. And it's going to be Miguel Aguilar, Angel Cordero, and Ryan Hughes will be joining us. But before we get to them, I just want to talk to Vince a bit longer about training. So, Vince, you saw a lot of the guys up there on stage, some a little more shredded than others, but it looked like, you know, we're getting more balanced physique top to bottom. What would be your take on it for, like, your arm ratio to calf ratio or chest to waist? What are you looking for in athletes for myotropics or just in general for physique?
Well, and this is a topic that did come up quite a bit. What I believe is the myotropics kind of archetype may not be what the judges are looking for, but certainly Matt Krishner, Angel Cordero, Ian, you're with us. I believe in a little bit more muscle. I understand why the judges may be looking for a little more toned down look because they're afraid that the guys are going to go to the extreme again. Mm-hmm. But just as a matter of course, I've always kind of thought that, you know, the difference being in the supplement world, let's say brands that go after the average person usually fail. The standard had been for years, you know, get a top bodybuilder or a pro bodybuilder. But really, the sweet spot is getting guys that look like, a more muscular physique guy. And if they wind up winning, like Matt did, you know, at the Governor's Cup, fine. If they don't, then fine as well. Because I think that not that these guys in the pro category look like surfers, but when it's a little less impressive, to me, you get a lot of people going, oh, that guy's just kind of just skinny.
Right.
And you want to know, I mean, the psychology of this is really, you want people to go, look, if I do some work, I can really change the way my physique is. And without just going, hey, you know, I was kind of born lean. I could get a little tan and do some training, and I'm like what they look for. So my take is, and my term for that is a rig, is a guy that's not a male model and he's not a bodybuilder. He's got like a rig on him. He's got, you know, you see it a lot with football players, you know, when you see some of these guys that are really built, they're not overly ripped, but they're bigger and fuller and more muscular than the average person. Yet they're not big and veiny like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I think
an athletic look.
Well, that's just it. I think you nailed it on the head there. You want that athletic look, but still with muscle that takes some time to put on. And you're seeing some big changes in the NPC level as well. I don't know if you noticed, but the over 45 division, the first show or two that I saw 45 and over, I thought, okay, here's some guys that, you know, they work out some. But this past show at the Grand Prix, at the NPC level, these 45 and up guys were in great shape, as well as the 35 and up, of course. But it seems like everybody in the amateur level as well, the pros, is coming in, for the most part, really dialed in a lot more than they were early on. And especially the older gentlemen are really stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, and I think you can tell in the whether it's muscle maturity or just time training, whatever you want to call it, you can see it when they wind up getting in condition. There's just a look to that versus just being thinner and maybe having great shape still. I mean, maybe not the greatest shape on the planet, but really good shape. Mm-hmm. And stage presence. It's just a little too much like Abercrombie and Fitch to me. That's all. I mean, it's great, but it's our preference at Myotropics is really kind of an athlete's athlete, or if you're a guy, it's like where a guy can't deny the fact that guy's got a freaking physique on him. You know, that's the deal.
There's
no knock on it, right?
That's something that's been worked for. I mean, the kind of guy that when he goes into the gym, he's approached by at least every time by one or more people asking questions as to how to develop this or how to get that or how do I make my chest do. You know, that's the kind of physique that I feel is really representative of the sport, or I'm hoping it goes that direction even more so.
Yeah, I mean, interesting thing is, and I watched a couple of videos, and one was, I think, Miguel and a couple others on RX Muscle after the show. And like Miguel had said, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to get my waist down. Okay, well, then you look at a guy like Matt Christian, who's gifted with a really kind of a nice bone structure and real small waist. Mm-hmm. Are they counting against that?
Well, I think a lot of that comes back to your posing. If you have a wider waist, you have to learn to stand in such a fashion to twist the hips, giving you that V taper. I mean, there's nothing you can do about the width of your actual hips. It is what it is. Now, of course, you can let your obliques atrophy and your waist will look smaller from the front that way. But then you have to think, too, if you're an athlete or if you like to squat or do any kinds of movements that utilize those oblique muscles, then how much are you willing to give up in order just to have a smaller waist if you're not blessed with that super narrow hip bone structure? So there are a lot of things to consider. And really, one thing that a lot of guys neglect is just to practice their posing and make sure they're ready to present their physique in the way that's most flattering while on stage.
True. The other point with the the shoulder to waist differential, mm-hmm. is when you get a guy, regardless of posing, you get a guy like Matt that seems to have a good set of genetics and obviously hard work. And what he had told me is that they said I look too much like a bodybuilder. So again, are they counting against that because there's this differential? Does he have to shrink his shoulders down now so he doesn't look so V-tapered? You know, see what I mean? I mean,
my guess with Matt is if he were to come in looking a bit softer, perhaps that would do the trick. I mean, that might be a matter of not coming in quite as dehydrated. So it's so tricky to say, and that depends on who the judge is and, you know, what feedback he personally received. And then if he runs into the same group of judges at the next show.
Yeah.
But speaking of Matt, we have a number of other competitors. Matt was the first to be on the show twice. So we were going to have him on, and I thought, you know what, let's bring on some new guys. So today, for our listeners, we have a treat. We have three pros joining us today. Like I mentioned before, joining us first will be Angel Cordero. Then we'll bring in Miguel Aguilar and then Ryan Hughes. So make sure you stay tuned. Right after this short commercial break, we're going to bring all three on.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more more time. Be prepared to bring it with Gamma-O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma-O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
You're here with Vince Anderton, myself, Ian Lauer, and joining us as promised are three of the pros that competed in this past weekend's Men's Physique Pro Show, the Grand Prix. First, I'd like to introduce you to Miguel Aguilar. Miguel, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us. So what did you think of the show, just briefly, right off the top of your head?
I thought it was a phenomenal show. It was very energetic, and the atmosphere was good. It was a good show. The athletes came, ready to compete.
Excellent. And how did you get into physique to begin with?
I trained with Kim Odo, and we originally did a bodybuilding show for my very first show, and then, 3 weeks after that, the MPC brought in Men's Physique, and that's more my avenue, and just fell in love with the sport, how competitive it is, and so on.
Excellent. I mean, it is a good competition. Speaking of competition and competitors, we're going to bring in competitor number two. So behind door number two is Angel Cordero. Angel, how are you doing today?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, wonderful. Hey, thanks for joining us, man. What were your thoughts on the show?
It was the first time I was ever out on the West Coast for a show, so it was a good experience. John Lindsay actually ran a really good show. The competitors were all in great shape. It was a tough show, and I knew that going into it. And it kind of held up all the expectations.
Excellent. I know you had some challenges, being that you were coming from out of town, and it was your first show that you were doing completely alone without friends or family around. What were your thoughts on that in comparison to doing other shows?
I tell you what, I didn't like it too much. It wasn't the first time trying to figure everything out on my own, went grocery shopping, had to figure out how to spend my time. Then the flight, I was retaining some water. So trying to overcome all those were some things that I didn't even think about heading into it until I got there and realized, man, I got to step my game up with the show in a couple of days.
Well, you did a great job. I mean, you looked great on stage, and, when you were up there, it looked like you were having a great time. So even with the challenges outside of the competition, you did an awesome job. Speaking of other guys that did an awesome job, it's time to bring in our third guest and final guest for this roundtable discussion, Ryan Hughes. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. A little jet lagged from today's flight, but I think I'll do.
I thought you walked home. I didn't know why take a flight when you could get some extra exercise, right?
Yeah, I was planning on the extra cardio, but I decided the flight would be a little easier.
Well, this was your pro debut. How did you feel with the show itself?
The show was great. Like the other guys mentioned, it was, a highly competitive show. It was my first pro show, so it's a little different than at the amateur level. Nobody is off their game on the pro stage. So you get there and you're kind of hoping for people to be off their game, but it never ends up that way, I guess. And everybody looks in great shape, so it was a lot of fun. I had fun.
Excellent. Okay, guys, we have all three of you on the line now. Vince, this is going to be free-for-all question-wise. First question I'm going to ask, though, I'm going to hog the mic. Sorry, Vince. I wanted to ask, Miguel, you mentioned that you were a bodybuilder first, and then you move over to physique. Now, Angel, I wanted to ask you, what was your approach? What got you into physique?
Actually, I did bodybuilding in 2009. And really realized how big I had to be in order to succeed at a bodybuilding level and, you know, a national level. And my frame is not set to put that much muscle on. So I was fortunate enough to actually get into a car accident and caught walking pneumonia, which caused me to lose a lot of weight when I was trying to build. And found out that men's physique was coming, was coming up. So I pretty much went from a car accident to walking pneumonia right into dieting into my first show.
Oh, no, that's turning a negative into a positive.
It's a good diet. It's a way to diet.
Yeah. It worked.
Hop into the Chevy and run into pneumonia. That works. Always good to get lean and mean. Oh, man. So, Miguel, a question for you. What have you noticed opportunity-wise that's changed since you've become a pro?
I've met a lot of good people. You know, realistically, the opportunity that has been presented to myself was as you guys know, I'm pretty tattooed. I got 2 3-quarter sleeves and a full back sleeve, and I did a couple shows without any cover-up, and I did very well, but, you know, the feedback I got from the judges that you couldn't really see any separation on my back and so on, so I was fortunate enough to hook up with Jan Tana, so that opportunity presented itself, and she brought me on as one of her, you know, people. I wouldn't say really call it a sponsorship. But then also, you know, other opportunities, just meeting great people, realistically. Nothing real big yet, but I'm holding off to make sure that when the opportunity does present itself, I have some value behind it. So it's not just me asking for either, I guess, a sponsorship or hey, bring me on your team. I definitely want to bring something to the table.
Well, that's good. You're trying to create value instead of just asking for something to come out of nothing. So yeah, that's I guess the right approach. So good, yeah. Good plan. I like it.
Look, I know you're successful in real estate. Isn't that right, yeah. Miguel?
Yeah, I'm ranked number 7 in Riverside County in sales out of the top 250 real estate agents here. So yeah,
that's awesome.
So I know what, you know, hard work takes, and but like it's just how can I put it? I have no expectations, but expectations, if that makes sense. Whatever opportunity that I do present, I want to make sure that I do it the best and give it 150%, just like anything else, between my real estate, my family, you know, the sport that I love, which is, you know, competing, just everything.
Well, and that kind of businessman drive is important in competing in physique if you want to make it in the fitness business as well as any other business. And I know you don't do personal training, but one of our guests here does. And Ryan, you have a personal training business, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I started doing a little bit of training when I was back home. I'm from the Philadelphia area. And when I decided to make the switch to become a full-time fitness model and competitive athlete, you know, I wanted to have some sort of income to also fall back on, and, you know, training has always been a passion of mine. So when I did move up to New York City, it was only natural to kind of get more heavily involved in the training, and I, you know, rather than work for a gym, there's nothing better than working for yourself. So started my own business, and, you know, things have been going great since then.
Excellent. And if our listeners want to find your business on the web, what's the address for that?
It would be HugeFit.com.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Now, Angel, what is it that you do outside of competing?
Very, very similar. I run a training division for a couple of gyms in the Cleveland area. So I started from the ground up, hiring the trainers, you know, working with building my client base, and then going into different gyms and doing the same thing.
So you guys are coming in from all different walks. We have running gyms, we have real estate, we have guys running their own businesses. I guess I'd like to ask all of you the same question. Miguel, we'll start with you. What is your first bit of advice for someone that is either new to competing or they've been competing a while and they want to try to make the jump to pro? What would be your number one piece of advice?
You know, keep it very simple, very black and white, very straightforward. You know, it doesn't take a genius to do what we do in a sense. It's very basic fundamentals. You know, you eat properly, you train right, and you align yourself to the proper shows and you market yourself correctly. That all comes as a full package, and I think that would align yourself to be one of the best pros. So just, you know, just keep working at it and make sure your fundamentals are right.
Okay, and then same question for you, Angel. What would be your piece of advice for someone that's looking to turn pro or just getting into competing?
I would say, you know, be consistent and persistent. Those two things, you know, it took me a little bit to earn my pro card, and, you know, it's just constantly making adjustments and listening to the feedback that the judges give you at the regional level and really make those adjustments for yourself, but stay within what you're comfortable doing. I mean, people, you know, when you look your best and you feel you look your best, you're going to exude that confidence on the stage, and that's what's important, I think.
I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It is important to take your feedback, but also understanding what it is that you want to present. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that point. And Ryan, well, how about you? What would be your piece of advice for newcomers?
I'm actually going to go a little bit different direction and say, you know, before giving advice, the person would want to step back and ask themselves why they want to become a pro or why they want to begin competing. Because I'll tell you one thing that I've learned about not just myself but the other competitors in this division, especially the pros, these guys are doing it and I am doing it because we have a passion to compete. We really enjoy, you know, the lifestyle and everything that goes into competitive physique. And, you know, if you're getting into this for any kind of, you know, financial reasons, you want sponsorships, you want to be in the limelight, any of that, I think you need to reevaluate really why you're doing it, because, you know, these guys that are stepping on the pro stage, I mean, they have a drive because this is a passion for them. And that's what I think really makes a pro physique competitor.
Excellent. So a lot of good advice and a lot of good introspective questioning that really needs to happen if you are going to pursue this. For those of you that may be listening online and decided to skip past the first portion of the show, just a reminder, our guests today are IFBB pros Miguel Aguilar, Angel Cordero, and Ryan Hughes. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Vince, because I have been just slapping my gums and letting my hole get the best of me. So Vince, if you have some questions for Miguel, Angel, or Ryan, please go right ahead.
Well, you know, I covered a lot, but I really appreciate what Ryan just said. And I think you've heard me say this probably every show. If you don't love this, get out. Okay. If you're looking for someone to discover you or something, because, you know, you're going to waltz on stage and someone's going to pick you, forget it. Okay. But if you love this, you know, evidenced by the great career Miguel has, but he's still doing this, he must love it. He doesn't need to do this. You know, I'm sure Ryan has a great training business, and I know Angel does. They don't need to compete, but they want to. So there's something else to it. And Ryan, you're 100% right. You have to ask yourself, you know, am I doing this to better myself? And you're also going to, you know, do better in business, and your family life should be better, as long as you don't get carried away, because you'll have more confidence and more health. But at the end of the day, this is not, and we're in LA here, and, you know, you see a lot of these actors and stuff like that that think that being an actor is getting discovered and being famous. It's that's not even close. It's going to class and it's loving the art. And if you have to slum it forever, you slum it forever. And that's what it is. And so I think you guys are at the top of the game because you really care about it. That's all I could say.
Absolutely. No. I think that was perfectly said. This is Miguel. I truly agree with what Ethan said. It's just it's a love for the sport and the challenges that it brings. Because at the end of the day, I think the last 2 weeks of prep for myself personally, I really rediscovered myself of who I am and why I'm doing this. And it's just that alone is the passion for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you guys, you know, you're going to inspire a lot of people. And the other thing is, you know, we're trying to figure out what the judges want. We talked about that before you guys came on. My take on that is bring what you think is your best package. You obviously want to, you know, listen to judges, take criticism and stuff. But at the end of the day, you're doing it for to better yourself and to have the body that you want. And so you don't really, you can't answer to somebody something that is subjective. You're doing it because, you know, you did better this time than you did last time, or you learned something. That's the deal here. It's not, you don't grade yourself by how many trophies you get. Cause if you do, then, you'll probably only be successful getting trophies, and that's not the end of the game.
Well, you could go down to the trophy factory and just have some made. I actually made myself 15 first place trophies, and
you even did a sword, I heard.
Well, yeah, and a crossbow.
That's awesome.
Sporting it up here, right?
And an Indian headdress too. You got yourself.
Well, as you know, the best I've ever placed in a competition is 19th out of 13 people. So I have to make my trophies where I can get them. I'm not doing quite as well as these gentlemen here, guys. What just so you can let our listeners know, if you could just tell each of you one at a time, let our listeners know where you earned your card and maybe how many shows you did before that. Whoever wants to start.
I actually did Miguel, and I actually did five shows prior to earning my pro card. I did San Diego, a John Lindsay show, placed fifth there. Straight from there, about 3 weeks later, went to New Orleans. I got my first overall in New Orleans, and then from New Orleans, I followed it up with USA's, which was very competitive, another John Lindsay show in Vegas, 28 in our class. I took fourth there. Then, you know, took the feedback, adjusted, and then went headed off to Miami, which Miami's last year show was close to 900, a little over 900 competitors, 68 in my class, and I took first there. So that was real humbling, and definitely appreciated that win the most. That's why I earned my pro card.
Excellent. How about you, Angel?
All right. Yes, I competed in four shows. First show, like I said, was just to see where I would place, how I would do, coming from being sick and all the other things I was trying to deal with. Placed sixth and, you know, felt okay with that and really wanted to make improvements. Did a show up in Michigan, placed third. And then I gave my shot at Junior Nationals. And that's when I really got to see the talent and what it would really take to take it to that next level. And then I was thinking about just calling it a day after that. But North Americans was right around the corner, and it was in my hometown. So I figured, why not just give it one last run? And fortunately for me, I did, and that's where I earned my pro card in my own hometown.
Yeah, that was I was at that show. That was a good one, definitely. And Ryan, you were one of the first two pros, so if you could tell people a bit about your story, how you earned your card.
Yeah, I competed first at the New Jersey Suburban Show, amateur show early last year. I believe it was in March, the end of March of last year. And I actually took fourth out of five there. So didn't do great there, but the top five qualified for nationals last year. So I qualified for nationals and
decided to do the first national show, which was 5 weeks later, the Junior USAs down in South Carolina. And there were two classes, about 20 guys in each class, and I ended up taking first in my class in a really competitive show. Lost the overall to Mr. Christianer, but still earned my pro card there. And it was a great experience.
Awesome. Excellent. So which shows are you guys looking at competing in next?
Well, I got my, this is Miguel, I got my mindset in going back to New Orleans where I got my overall and giving it a shot there, try to get that first place, you know. Definitely want to shoot that before, that'll probably be my last show for the end of the, for the year.
All right.
And Angel here, I plan on doing, actually I'm going to do the Europa, which is in 12 days, so I really didn't have time to sulk in my last placing, but you know, I took feedback from the judges and really want to push forward and make these adjustments and see how I do. And then I will do the New York Pro, and then I'm going to kind of take a step back, evaluate my placings, see what I need to do, and then think about doing probably one or two more later on in the year.
Wow, that's it's good of you to really just jump right back up on the horse. I'm still dabbing my tears from my place at the muscle contest in 2011. And Ryan, how about you? When's your next appearance going to be on stage?
I am actually, I placed ninth last weekend, so you know, I talked to the judges afterwards, and the overall consensus was I was a little big for that show. So I'm going to give myself a couple weeks and shoot for the New York Pro and try to make the needed changes there, bring in a tighter physique and see if I can lose a couple pounds, and hopefully that's what the judges want there. So New York Pro is going to be my next show.
The New York Pro, excellent. Well, you know, it's interesting too because we haven't seen a show on the East Coast to this point when it comes to the pro show, and sometimes there seems to be a bit of a difference in the judging depending on which coast you're on.
Yeah, I definitely have taken that into consideration, and you know, I think with my physique, you know, I do end up carrying a little bit more size on stage than some of the other guys, and I think losing too much of that will kind of hurt my lines, and I'll lose that aesthetic. So, you know, I don't want to go too overboard, but, you know, I'll see if I can tighten it up a little bit, and, you know, hopefully the judges will like what they see.
Excellent. Fitz, do you have any
more to ask, guys? What's that?
I was going to ask you if you had more questions, but apparently you do, and you're on the ball, my friend.
I got to jump in, dude, because you're just, like, running it.
I got questions, man. Jump, I got dude. Questions.
Yeah. Ever. But anyway, since you guys are all, you guys love the game, do you not want to at some point just wait for the music man to say down and just start elbowing guys? Would you like to do that just once?
Seriously, though, what do you guys think about mandatory poses perhaps at some point maybe being introduced?
I think it'd be, it is Miguel, I think it'd be very interesting. It'd be it couldn't be obviously bodybuilding because they're really trying to separate bodybuilding and physique from what it looks like. They're trying to really create that line. But definitely having somewhere where we can definitely show our physique would be, you know, pretty fun. It would be fun on stage, but not anything feminine. It's just very, it's something where you can actually see the structure of the physique in a good, proper way. I think it'd be interesting.
Maybe even not so much, this is Ryan Hughes, you know, mandatory poses. Maybe we go through the show as we're doing now and we do the quarter turns and front and back poses. And then maybe, you know, maybe at the night show they give us the opportunity to do a free pose with everybody and we can have a little bit of fun up there. Just to loosen things up.
I totally agree. This is Vince. Mandatory poses, maybe not, but getting a chance to show your personality and basically hide or accentuate your strengths and weaknesses, that's part of the game. That was always part of the game, which got thrown out years ago in bodybuilding. You know, the whole free posing round was supposed to be able to say, okay, that guy basically delivered the physique because of the way he posed. You know, he looked better than another guy because he knew how to show his physique off. I think that would be something that might be a deciding factor, since all you guys look fucking great. It's hard to decide.
It is harder to decide when you're seeing just four angles and there you go.
This is Ryan Hughes. I was just going to say, you know, I mean, judging from backstage, and, you know, there's 10 guys in the last show and we're all looking at each other, and I know none of us could decide, so I can't imagine what the judges are thinking. So everybody comes in great shape. Everybody's got good size. You know, I don't think there's any one favorite at any show. So it's, you know, it would definitely be cool to have an additional factor to where we can really show, because a lot of these guys do have great personalities. You know, I've met a lot of them backstage, and it would be fun to kind of show off a little bit on stage and challenge each other.
Definitely. And this is a question for all of you guys. I mean, I know they're not going to be going to the Banana Hammocks, but what do you think about some sort of short that shows a little leg development, something that shows more total physique? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
For me, it's up in the air. This is Miguel. If we were going to show legs, it's just, in other words, a lower scale bodybuilder with some board shorts, you know, or some Euro shorts. Keeping the legs covered, it gives it more, it's a definitely a different look. But as everybody knows, if we start training our legs, our upper bodies naturally get big. It's just a given. Even if you do high repetition, it's just a given. But to me, I don't think that'd be a very smart move, especially if they're trying to keep it as physique.
And how do you feel on that, Angel?
I like the idea of doing even just, you know, a European cut style of shorts, because legs are part of your physique. And, you know, everyone is saying, you know, we don't have legs, we don't have legs. Well, we have legs, you know. They're not Blanche Warren legs. And, you know, that's not what, you know, they're going to judge us on. But, you know, I guarantee everyone that was stepped on stage this past weekend, you know, had cuts in their legs, have decent-sized legs, and I feel it should accentuate your upper body and help you with having more lines and things like that. It's also another way to be judged. So I think it'd be a good idea, but like Miguel said, that there's a fine line between, you know, going overboard with it, because you want to make sure there's that difference between the bodybuilding and the men's physique.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I actually think we should wear pants on stage. No, I mean, I definitely think, you know, a shorter board short would, I wouldn't be opposed to a shorter board short, but I do like the idea of the board shorts. Like, I don't think I'd like to wear, you know, like a tight European type short or, yeah, anything like that. I think the board shorts kind of represent the division. They allow us to put some sort of personality into our appearance on stage by choosing our board shorts. So I definitely like the board shorts.
You know, I heard the NPC was sticking with board shorts, but the IFBB pros are going to be forced to wear nothing but jock straps. So I don't know if you guys are going to be looking forward to 2013 or not.
Well, you know what? I think that the point is well taken, that the legs may get pounded and then guys get bigger and then you're off to the races, and or it starts to look like bodybuilding. But the thing that is missing, I believe, with just the board shorts is, and I don't mind them, is the fact that if you're going off overall aesthetic, you basically get cut off at the abs. Let's face it. I mean, so that's what you're judging guys on, because you can't see the thigh. You can look at calves, I guess, but the shape and flow is gone after the waistline. There's nothing else to really kind of judge on. So I think if you added, maybe it's in a free round where someone decides that they can even show some kind of shape to their thighs and legs, to show that their overall structure is superior than maybe the next guy. That might work, but I don't know how they could do that.
I just think it's interesting that all three of our pros here have different opinions, where it's, you know, one is let's wear skivvies, one is let's do exactly what we're doing, and the other is let's wear long pants and combat boots. So, I actually like the discussion and the different ideas. I think it's something different to think about.
Now I'm going to get railed on that because of my kids, but whatever.
Oh, man, we had to do what we can with what we're given. That's the way. Vince, it's about time for us to make way for Dave Palumbo and Dr. Connolly. Do you have any more questions for these guys while we have them on the line?
No, I just want to congratulate all the guys. I mean, you guys are really, you all look unbelievable. You represent the sport well, and I think you're going to inspire a lot of young guys and older, and even older guys to take up weight training for the cosmetic benefits, which sounds like it's just a vanity play, but really it isn't, because all the health benefits come from the way you guys train with your diet and your cardio and your weight training. And so really, that to me, the big so what of physique is because it's visually enticing to, let's say, a young guy going, hey, I'd like to look like that. It's a way to motivate a lot of young people and people that missed out on this whole weight training and getting in condition after maybe they got out of, you know, organized sports, as a way to say, you know what, I can actually do this. This would be my lifestyle, and I could really get the body I want and get the confidence I want and get the health benefits I really need. And it's not that difficult. Because it doesn't look like a bodybuilder where you got 100 pounds more muscle than you guys are carrying for your body, for your height, you know? So I think it's great.
Great point there, Vince. Great point. Gentlemen, one at a time here, if you'd just like to give any shout outs or any final messages for other competitors or fans. Miguel, we'll start with you.
I just want to thank everybody, you know, the athletes, the you guys, everybody in the sport, just our fans, I guess you would call them, everybody. Everybody contributes one way or another, you know, with positive messages and feedback and everything else. So just want to really thank everybody.
Excellent. And Angel?
You know, I want to give a shout-out to, you know, all my fans, the support system, and, you know, the athletes. We've built a really good camaraderie between each other where, you know, we compete as athletes, but, you know, we're backstage goofing around, having fun with each other. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is having fun with it. You know, obviously no one likes to lose. That's why we're there, is to try and win. But at the same time, you know, having that fun and having that respect for each other, I think goes a long way. And, you know, I want to thank all the fans and everybody for their support.
Excellent. And Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you got to thank all the amateur competitors and, you know, of course, the professional competitors as well. But, I mean, we are getting absolutely crazy numbers coming out to each of these amateur shows. And, you know, it really goes to show you how much this division has grown just in a year's time and the potential for the division. So you have to give a shout out to all these young guys jumping on stage, and I know they're implementing the Masters, and so I just think it's great for the sport, it's great for the industry, and, you know, I hope it just keeps going and keep growing. So thanks to everybody who's competing.
Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today. Really a pleasure to have you on the show. Hope to have you back on again at some point. Vince, any final thoughts for those listening at home or on the road?
No, I just, you know, stay
no,
up on
you. Just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. No, I think, you know, if you have the chance to get out and see one of these events locally, you should do it, because in person it's much different than seeing it online or whatever. And, you know, try to meet some of these physique guys and talk to them and, you know, learn from them, because that's what they want to do. At least the ones I've talked to, they're all very willing to help other guys out And that's really the ultimate so what about this is you got to give back and pay it forward to get other guys into it to keep it going. Because somebody inspired all you guys. I know, you know, I'm a lot older than you, so somebody inspired me back in the 1800s. And I owe a debt of gratitude to him. No, but yeah, you guys know how it goes. I mean, there's a lot of young... There's a lot of young guys looking and just guys in general that are curious about this stuff and how are they gonna do it, and they're just maybe shy, and you know, you could give them a lot of confidence just by them meeting you and getting to know that you're just real people.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of Physique Star Radio. And for those listening at home, make sure you tune back in next week for our next show.
This has been another episode of Physique Star Radio, exclusively on RxMuscle.com. Be sure to visit Myotropics.com for the most innovative physique nutrition supplements available today.